Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. Oh my, here comes Sherry. Through the door.
Here comes Sherry with her hot
Sherry. Love dogs, not kids. Wait, Sherry here. By the way, big news, big Sherry last night. I could finish the show, and, I decompress after the big show. And then all of a sudden, Andrew, big announcement music, because then Sherry texts me that Talker.com has listed their top 100 heavy hitters in talk radio. And coming in at number 67 is the John Charlie Sherry Elicker Show.
Wow. Congratulations. That's well, big doings, man. That's good.
Yeah. Then Sherry writes, what is this? I was like, I have no idea. So she spent the next 3 hours trying to figure out if it was legitimate. But who's number 66? We're gunning for these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Hal J and Ernie Brown, WPBA, WPB, PBAP.
Yeah, might as well be WPAP. PBJ.
Yeah,
peanut butter and jelly. Nothing.
That's right. We're done for those guys. So sad going through the list, scrolling. Oh, God.
You're beating Charlie Kirk.
Are we? Is even Rance on there? Ursula?
No.
Hey, anybody? That's right. That's
by the way, this further illustrates that you ignore my text messages because I sent it to you like early afternoon yesterday.
Okay.
Sherry
said he's very excited, yes.
The weirdest thing is we have no idea what it is and no idea how we got there. So it's just randomly appeared on this list. And
I think that matters, Sherry. Not when Andrew hit the music again. Not when you're talking about 100 heavy hitters in talk radio. Don't look too closely at the photos of those guys, because that's unfortunately what we look like as well. Tucker.com. Number 67. All right. Enough of tooting our own horn there.
I checked it out, and people that are in the know said, oh, yeah, that's you're kind of a big deal.
Okay. I don't know how they found us. Can't even find us on mynorthwest.com website. The news of O.J. Simpson passing, how long was it? How old was O.J.? 60?
He's 74, I think.
Yeah. He had said somebody caught him, I think, this is a Super Bowl weekend. And he's driving by, and he posts this video, and he says,
hey, X-World, hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in it.
By the way, get Jim Mora's dad. The playoffs? Playoffs? find that one, Andrew. Hang on. Here's
my you talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess is like the Donald Sink. Can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. And all is well, you know? So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
There you go. Are they going to fine him now that he said Super Bowl a couple of times? He wasn't allowed. That's right, he's dead.
Well, good luck getting the money. He also sent out the same kind of thing a little bit later, saying, "Hey, listen, I had a couple of problems, but I'm well now, and everything's going to be okay. I expect to be back on the golf course, probably about 2 weeks, and that was maybe a month ago. So he was in hospice, I believe, and his kids were around him. He's got 4 or 5 kids. They were all around him when he died. And I and that is that.
What's that?
A couple of comments.
Playoffs. Watch, here it comes.
We'll talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Yeah. It's interesting poll that I'd seen just right before the verdict. And then right after the verdict, 20% said not guilty. That was Black Americans, 1995. Mm-hmm. It's now 54% in 2015. If they take another poll again, I say eventually, because more and more people that watch the trial will no longer be with us, so people will start to realize that the guy was guilty. It's pretty obvious. Very brilliant move what they did. They really put Furman on the stand, Mark Furman. They really just said, all you need is just create just a little sliver of doubt that maybe Furman, here's what they based it on, Furman's a racist, and he went back to the crime scene there, and he took one of the gloves, this is so ridiculous, that OJ had, that admitted to having, and took one of the gloves and stuck it there at the crime scene. So what they needed to do was pin the whole thing on Mark Furman. And it was brilliant what they did to him on the stand. Have you ever used the N-word? No. Have you ever used it in the last 5 years? No. 10 years? No. Have you ever used, anybody ever heard you use it? Nope. Nope. Never use it? Nope. Not a racist? Nope. Not at all. Not a racist? No. And then they play Mark Furman saying the N-word 41 times mm-hmm. when he was being interviewed by Laura Hart, who was a screenwriter, 1985 to 1994. So then they're like, okay, so the guy's a racist or uses the N-word. Is it possible he went back to the crime scene and took one of OJ's gloves and stuck it there to frame OJ because he's such a racist? It's all you needed. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And that's the end of the story. And then the glove. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit, right? And they challenged the DNA, even though people didn't quite understand the DNA. So just enough doubt in the jury's mind. I saw an interview by one of the jurors. They said, would you change your verdict now? And the guy said, no. He goes, listen, they just didn't prove it beyond a shadow of doubt that it was OJ. I just needed more evidence to prove that it was OJ. They just created just that tiny, they opened the door just a little bit, little bit of light in for people to go, I'm going to go not guilty. So,
well, the hammer reasonable doubt into the juror's head. So all they have to do is say, is there just the tiniest chance that they're wrong? And then that's enough to acquit someone.
Right. Yeah. It was Norm MacDonald lost his job because of O.J. Simpson. O.J.'s, the president of NBC, was a friend of O.J.'s and went to Saturday Live, Michael Lorne, and said, tell MacDonald, stop using O.J. jokes. And Norm's like, okay. And then he didn't. And then for like 2 more weeks, every single joke that he was doing there on Saturday Live during the weekend update was like, OJ's back home and doing what he likes to do, murdering people. They're looking forward to doing what he likes to do, murdering people. He just did every single OJ joke he could possibly do.
Good.
And then finally, like, you're fired. He's like, fine, I don't care. And he just really didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, now he probably cares because he's not number 67 on the Hot 100 list. Wow. They really talked to a couple people that were involved in the case. Gloria Allred, who defended or helped with Nicole Brown's family trying to sue OJ. She said that the Simpson death reminds us that the legal system, even 30 years ago, 30 years later, is still failing battered women. Goldman's attorney said he may be dead, but his multimillion dollar judgment is not. Remember, they had a really hard time collecting even a penny out of him.
He lost in the civil case because he went down to Florida and you can't get the money in a civil case in Florida.
Well, the other thing is that his pension from the NFL could not be touched. So they really couldn't do anything. And then he tried to sell off his stuff and everything like that. Caitlyn Jenner, for some reason, I guess she was at one time a very good friend of OJ. And she said that it's good riddance. Good riddance. And Tom Lang, who was one of the detectives, said, I have nothing to say. I simply don't care.
Wow. The murder took place between 10:15 and 10:40. O.J. Simpson killed her first. She died of a massive cut to the throat. She fell. Her feet were not covered in blood, which means she died first before the bleeding started. And then he really had to fight Ron Goldman. Extensive cuts to Goldman, bruises Goldman as well. Then he did succumb to his injuries. OJ said that he cut his hand on a glass that he had broken. The other weird part of the testimony is when the detective was asked, how did OJ react when you told him that his wife had died? I have some bad news for you. He said, oh my God, she's dead. Oh my God. Oh my God, she's dead. When they got the guy on the stand, they're like, so what did he say? Did he ever ask when, where, how? Nothing. And they said to the detective, does that seem strange? Objection. Is there a proper response when you find out your wife is dead? You know, then objection. Okay. But he basically wanted the jury to hear, that's not the normal way you would react if you find out that I have some bad news for you, Mr. Simpson. Your wife has been killed. Your wife is dead. Not, oh my God, what, where is she? What is it? Not, oh my God. Oh, Nicole. I mean, come on. There's a size 12 Bruno Magli shoe. I think, like, I don't know how many of them were sold in the United States. He had a pair. He wore them, right? They were found. The stains on the sidewalk there, or the little alleyway where he was. Those were size 12 Bruno Magli shoes. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous that he got off. But again, that's the jury system, just to create the doubt. That's why in England they don't have guilty or not guilty. They have proven or unproven, right? Which makes sense, doesn't it? We're not addressing your guilt. What we're addressing is, did the defense or did the prosecutor do a good enough job to prove, in this case, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you did it? Proven or unproven is really the way the jury looked at it, I guess. And probably a little bit of vengeance. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. And they also say that defense attorneys will say, you know, how do you defend someone that you know is guilty? How do you do that? And they say, look, we go into a trial. It is not about guilt or innocence. It's about evidence and right. Who's got the best evidence. So if they can prove one thing and the other person can't, they win. And it's really shocking. I also heard something today about how they were concerned about civil unrest if OJ had been found guilty. Did you get that sense when he was on trial that maybe there would have been riots in the street over OJ?
No,
I didn't either. No. I don't.
But it was a couple. It was 2 years after Rodney King, though, so I think that was certainly like fresh in people's minds.
Right, but then there were the LA riots. There, so yeah, the Rodney King,
that was 92.
Then the LA riots, yeah. 92, right, and then OJ. But OJ says, I'm not black, I'm OJ. You know, they went into his Rockingham home prior to the jury, and they said they just wanted to make sure that the place, you know, showed how regal and how rich OJ was, because they thought, why would OJ risk all of this and kill somebody? And when the defense was asked about it, the guy said, so did you rearrange things? No, we just wanted to make sure that the jury got a good look at you know, how successful he was. Well, they took down a bunch of pictures of Nicole. They put up some African art and some other stuff because they wanted to make sure that, hey, this guy, you know, he's an icon. So they kind of drove that home for the members of the jury. It would really be interesting today if a case like that were to be on the stand, right? With Twitter and social media. But I think the most amazing fact, or one of them I find most interesting, is when they, has the jury come to a decision, yes, we have, Your Honor. And then when they started to read the verdict, apparently phone lines across the United States. Do you ever seen this statistic, Sherry? The number of phone calls that were being made at the time when the jury was first entered to when the final not guilty was read, the number of phone calls in the United States dropped to a level not seen in the longest time at that time period of the day. I think it was like 11 something in the morning. Mm-hmm. I still remember that. Do you remember where you were? You were up there watching on the screen. It's like, you turn around and go, oh my God, not guilty?
I was in a car in a parking lot, And everybody in that parking lot was staying in their car listening to the radio at that moment. And then as soon as the verdict got read and whatever, you know, 100 people got out of their cars and walked around. And most people were in disbelief because it just didn't seem possible that they found him not guilty. How is that possible? I mean, so obvious to everybody.
They also credit the slow speed chase in the white Bronco and the trial as like legitimizing 24-hour news networks because
they'd
been around for a while, but the ratings were so through the roof during all those couple of years that started with the chase that basically everybody had to get a 24-hour news channel.
My first wife Paula was so obsessed with the trial that when we would go somewhere, you know, for dinner or out with friends or cocktail parties or dinner parties, whatever, she said, I can answer absolutely every single trivia question about the OJ. So any question you can come up with, I have the answer. Her knowledge of it was so deep. It was like watching a soap opera because it was on television every day. Remember?
Oh, absolutely.
Judge Alito or whatever his name was sitting where all this stupid stuff and he became like a big celebrity.
I know.
Really went to his head.
Right. And that may say that was part of the problem is that he was showboating and that didn't serve the prosecution well. And then all the stuff, you know, about what's her name, Marsha. And then she had the affair with the other prosecuting attorney.
Yes. If my wife were here, she could answer the middle name of the woman and the middle name of the guy, right. The age and what hotels they went to for their illicit affair. O.J. Simpson, known as number 32, the juice for the Buffalo Bills, but known as the man that took the life of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman on that fateful night, hacking them both to death. Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, not going to just more sad stories. Wow. All right. Well, yeah. What do you say?
He can't hurt anybody else now.
No. Poor Mr. Goldman.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Whether you're planning a special birthday party for 14 friends and family or a company outing for up to 400 coworkers, Mariner's Suites are the perfect spot for your next get-together. Enjoy catering, VIP parking, private entry, and more. Reserve today at mariners.com/suites.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show, and Teeny. Still a little bit of vote counting, as they do, Sherry, prior to tomorrow's vote for Employee of the Week. And she thinks that she's got this one in the bag. That'll be number 8 for Teeny for Employee of the Week here at Cairo Radio. She's disappointed she wasn't mentioned in the, what is it, Talk.com, Big Talkers 100 Most Popular Talk Shows.
I don't believe this!
Don't worry about Teeny. find out, Joe, if that thing's legit. Find out how they even found us.
It is legit. I don't know how they found us, though. I'll dig a little deeper.
Okay, thank you. You're on that one.
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't be involved in that one. It's a little behind the scenes stuff. There's not much behind the scenes on this show. It's not a big curtain we have to pull back. It's like a thin veil. It's a struggle for us to do a show that is news related. And so often the news is the same stuff. And we assume we're making a bunch of assumptions about you. You, the listener. You've had a tough day. You're driving home, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, coming home from work, five, whatever. And do you want more of kind of the homeless and the shooting and Biden and Trump? I think a certain level, you get to a toxic level. It's like if there's something in the water and eventually it builds up in your system and then it starts to cause some problems with your organs because you're having a high toxicity level. So we struggle with that with news. Like, do we stay with the news and do the news, 3 to 6 and just throw out big slabs of red meat and I get all pissed off and do stories? Or, we kind of mix it up and then what do we call that again, Andrew? A combination of news and what is that called again? I can't remember.
It's called newstainment.
Thank you. So it's the balance of it. And we're making a bunch of assumptions that maybe at 3 o'clock, this is a place you go to where you get the news, but like, you just don't give you stories that there's no solutions for, because I don't think there's anything more frustrating than that. So it's nice every once in a while to get, text messages back, and Joe sends them to us, and it's refreshing because you think, oh, well, maybe this is working. I mean, the fact that, well, talk.com heavy 100 is emblematic of that. But it's like, for instance, the other day, so this guy Tyler wrote in. And he says, Tyler 425. Was this yesterday or 2 days ago, Joe?
Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday. John and Sherry and other friends. That's you, Teeny and Andrew and Nate. Thanks for cheering me up today. We had to take our newborn to the hospital to check her into the NICU at Evergreen. It's been tough to leave her there and with my wife and to go run other errands and to care for the other kids and to take things to my wife to stay with our daughter. Your show is always so wonderful to listen to and have a laugh. I needed that today. So I said to Joe, hey, that was Tuesday. I said, Joe, see how this baby's doing, his wife's doing, because it's sort of a two-way street here. So Joe checked in, and then Tyler writes back, hi, Joe. We're still at the NICU with Jeannie. Fortunately, we understand that the issues are going to be ongoing is causing them, but we expect to be here a bit longer and have some surgeries ahead of us. But we're trusting in Jesus, has control of the situation, and is guiding. Thanks for the small font, Joe. Guiding the docs to the best solution for us. Thanks so much for reaching out. So, kind of nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Check in.
I think it's incredibly nice and incredibly personal and intimate. I mean, this is something this guy is going through, and he's giving us the privilege to be his friend about it, to say, we hear you, we sympathize with you, we're so sorry you have to have that pain right now. And it is really kind of remarkable when you think about that, when people allow you into their lives like that, even mm-hmm. if it's just the ride home from work.
Yeah.
That's something else. And I don't think either one of us or any of us take that for granted. I think we remember that all the time. If we were regarded as friends, we need to be friends. We need to be, there and entertaining and doing whatever people come to listen to us for.
Yeah, and to not be just constantly throwing the stink out there, right? You gotta have the solution for it. Like, for instance, the other day, there's a woman about 4 years ago. I met her here in Clay Ellum. She was a bartender over at Mike's. She's left there, and then she's over at the dollar store as a manager. Her name is Stephanie. Very loud, big personality. And she happened to, and she's one of these people that has like no filter. So while she's in line and I'm buying a bunch of great stuff at the dollar store, she's like, yep. Clean and sober, got off the meth, really doing great, life much better, was able to beat all that back, and I'm just on track, and what a miserable life I had when I was all addicted and messed up on those drugs, and I was all And I thought, here's an, and I, so I said, hey, would you mind coming on the radio? Joe, we'll have to get her on. How did you beat this? Because it's one thing just to do a story, another story, oh, the meth or the homeless or somebody else's overdose. You give the problem. That's not fair. You don't can't keep pointing out problems without some solutions, or at least some people that have kind of made it up over the mountain and got to the other side, right? Because I think people need to see that there's some progress, some resolution, at least for some people. And it's individual stories rather than statistics, right? So we'll get her on, but this constant search for not just, you know, the drumbeat of all the negativity, because I just don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'll blame it on Sherry if I am, that at 3 o'clock to 6 to 7, you don't want all of that just, you know, junk. You know, you just want to be able to turn somewhere and have somebody tell you how you can, you know, drink breast milk in the morning.
We're going to start our day off with a cup of breast milk. Get this, was like $5 an ounce on the dark web. Tastes mad good. It tastes like the bottom of the cereal, like once you get all the sugar and stuff, the last milk of the cereal. And that'll be enough to get me going today.
Now, see, where else are you going to get that kind of information? Where else are you going to be able to talk with somebody and say, hey, have you ever had breast milk? It's supposed it's like to taste bottom, like the bottom, like the of, the cereal. Of the cereal. Cereal bowl.
$5 oh, an ounce on the dark web.
Yeah, get on the dark web. How much is it an ounce?
$5.
Huh. Who would ever trust it? Yeah, let me buy some dark web breast milk.
I'd buy that for $1.
But not five.
Not five. Okay, yeah. Good to know. All right, well, let's break from the news for a moment to be able to thank Tyler and wish he and his wife and his little baby well. And then all the other letters that come in, we truly try to respond to them right back. And it's nice to be able to, you know, see that people's lives are improved. Or at least we make you laugh, you know.
And by the way, I know the font was small, but that was good news from them. At first, they didn't know what was wrong, and it was just the situation was dire. Now they know what the problem is with Jeannie, and they have a plan, and everybody's has a positive outlook on the outcome.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. All right. Thank you, Joe, for that. So there it is. A little break from all the rest. We'll continue with the news chain, man, in just a bit.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You're writing to us, good for you. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com, or there. Andrew sort of scoffs at that by saying,
I don't know if many people use it.
Hey, or you can also text coming into the Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Text line at 1-888-973-5476. Yes, Sherry, I'm growing a beard. Thank you, Teeny. Whatever. This guy came to the barn the other day. He and his wife, and then their kids, the bride and groom. The daughter was the child of the two. And the guy leaves, and Nick goes, whew, wow. What is that guy good looking? I was like, oh, yeah. She goes, no, just so, oh, the beard, oh, just so sexy. It's like, okay, calm down. Like, you know, if you want, you could chase the car down the road like a golden retriever if you want.
You're so go jealous. Hello, Jelly. Okay, go ahead.
So I thought, okay, I'll show her. Grow a beard just like that guy. So, and she even, then she's telling her friend, we went to dinner that night. She goes, oh my God, this guy came to the house. Let's see him. Look him up. Look him up. Look him up. They're like, the two of them are trying to find him on Facebook. Is that him? No. Oh, that guy's good looking too. Ooh, look at the beard. I thought, you know what? That's it. I'm going to shave for a while. I'm going to be sexy. I can be sexy. So that's what's going on here.
Oh. It's very,
but it's so weird. It's so weird. It's like if the woman had been gorgeous and she leaves, I'm like, whoa, check her out. Whoa, oh boy, yeah, hubba hubba, bing bong, huh? Wait, are ya? Like,
if you did all that, I'm not ding, sure ding, anybody ding, would ding, consider bum, that attractive. Ping, boom.
But it's so weird the difference between like the woman gets the pass. Because the women can be like, oh, my God. But if five guys, there's actually three women, we're all, five guys or three guys sitting around going, oh, my God, that woman, oh, she, wow, mom, ooh, hey, hey, hey. The women be like, excuse me, right here, you know?
Well, here's the difference.
Okay,
if you
please
did
help
that,
me.
Let's say the woman that you all were, you know, getting crazy over, she had a Dorothy Hamill haircut. Because I know how much you love that.
That used to be. That was an old thing, yes.
Right. Most women seeing your reaction to that would not go and get a Dorothy Hamill haircut. You, on the other hand, because you're trying to compete, you're growing, you're growing a beard. It's very odd because this seems counterintuitive to what you would normally do. You would normally shave off every hair in your body just to
I still do.
Okay, just to be the contrarian, say, "Oh, you like hair that much? You like facial hair that much? Here, take a look at this," and you would just go completely
rip it out in chunks. Yes,
yes, yes, yes. But instead, you're showing a little vulnerability, and that you know, well, maybe I would be more attractive if I did this. That's unusual.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Sherry. I was just thrown by how completely bonkers these women were when they finally found what the guy, and they weren't even sure. I think that's the guy, but it didn't. Then they're all passing the phone around. Oh yeah, that's so sexy, you know. But like women do the same thing. If somebody's some woman, a famous movie star, actress, or whatever, is wearing a particular look, you know, they'll go, oh, that I like that, you know, smoky eye. Like I did the smoky eye in 2007. It was weird, but you know, I did that for a while.
Will you be doing business with smoky this man? Eye. Will he come back? I know the smoky eye.
Hey,
will he come back?
Sue Bellin.
Sue, hold on. Go ahead.
Will he be doing business with you, this man, so he'll be in your life a little bit more?
Yes.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
I'm going to out-sexy him.
Attaboy.
Okay. Are you going to get all weird every time he comes over and have Nicole stay in the house and wow, that is a bandana around your neck, a red bandana with
weird.
Your blue coat.
Weird.
sexy cowboy.
Uh-huh. So
there you go.
Was he wearing a hat or anything?
No, he probably had a really nice hat and had it in the car or something like that. But I hope he's not listening. Come up here and pick my wife off like easy picking. All right. There we go. Try to control yourself, Sherry.
All right. I don't know what he looks like. Oh, I see. You mean about you.